welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. Mm-hmm. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne, and if you are watching in today, you can see that I have a special guest, Jessica Peck, with us today, and we will get into her story in just a second. If you've never listened to Hannah's Heart before, if you're new here, we are a podcast that really started out focusing on infertility and miscarriage, but has kind of blossomed into a lot of different ways how God chooses to grow families, and maybe sometimes when families take a little longer to grow than what they had planned by either singleness or child loss or infertility. And so we've definitely grown to cover a lot of different stories like that. So if you're new here, thanks for coming. And if you're a returning guest, thanks for being here again. As I mentioned, I have a new friend. I would call you friend already.
Absolutely. 100%. I'll take it.
We're kindred spirits.
We
I can
are.
Feel it.
We are.
But Jessica Peck, she actually has her own show on AFR. And you want to tell us about that? Dr. Nurse Mama.
I would love to do that. So I'm still relatively new, but I do feel like family. I belong. Like the listeners, I just feel like, can I come to your house and bring you a casserole? Like we're at that level of friendship. But we started just in October with a daily radio
October.
Show. Only in October.
I would have.
We're babies.
But you feel like you've been around longer than
I
that.
I really do. I really, really do. So we're live every day from 2 to 3. It's Dr. Nurse Mama. So that's my professor brain, my hands-on nursing experience. But most importantly, my heart as a mom to come alongside parents. And we talk about all kinds of issues just related to marriage, family, parenting, just how do we navigate this world that seems like every day goes a little more off the rails. My tagline for the show is prescribing hope for healthy families. Mm-hmm. So whatever that looks like and whatever season you're in, we just would love to have you along for the ride.
Right. And so you said that's every day from
every
two
day.
To three.
2 to 3 okay. Central time. That's right. Exactly.
And yes, you can learn so much just on the few programs I've been on. And then, of course, listening in, you cover so many. I'm like, I wouldn't even known you would have thought of that topic to cover. And so anyway, you can definitely highly encourage you to go back and listen, because you can get them as podcasts,
right? You can.
Right?
That's right.
So you can go back to the podcast page and listen or catch her live.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. That's exactly right. I do have to give a shout out to my most faithful listeners, actually my husband. It's
okay.
So sweet. He listens every
that.
Day. So I have the privilege of being married to a rocket scientist who thinks it's hilarious that people think I'm the smart one in the relationship. So every day at home, my kids are, well, that's not rocket science, Mom. But so hey, honey, I know he's listening. He's going to listen now. He listened to all the programs. He's such a great supporter.
But we would love
to have you all join us every day.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you're on. One reason is because you're Dr. Nurse Mom, but also you have your own story that we found out when you had Kendra and I on a program a few months back. You opened up and you're like, I've actually experienced miscarriage and loss. And so that is why I asked you on today, and you were like, I'll be on to share the good, the hard, the ugly, the beautiful of y'all's story. So if you want to give us a little bit of the backstory of you and your hubby and then jump into kiddos.
Sure, I'd love to do that. Yeah, and when you were on my show, you know, I really hadn't even thought about it. I thought, wait, I've experienced this too, because that's just not something that I'm usually talking about. And it's really nice to be able to share my personal story, because that does inform so much of my ministry and what I do.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think about it, but it really does impact the way that you feel compassion and the way that you just feel for families those who are experiencing that. So my husband and I actually, we were set up on a blind date. That's how we met, through mutual friends. And I was telling them, oh, no, I don't need you to set me up, you know, with some hockey player from New Jersey. Are you kidding me? You know, but he had graduated from college and gotten a job at NASA and worked. I'd lived in Houston. And so I was going to nursing school at the time, and we went out on our first date, and he asked me on our first date, Ann, how many kids do you want? And I thought, well, this is the first date. Like, you can't, I can't answer that.
That's I don't know how awkward. To answer this question.
Yeah, right so now. I said, well, how many kids do you want? And he's like, well, how many do you want? So, like mature adults that we said, let's count to three and hold up our fingers and say, you know, how many we want. So we said 1, 2, 3, and we both held up four fingers. We both said we wanted four kids. And that was just kind of, you know, the beginning. Obviously, like we were together from and in love from that first date, and God just had such a great story there. That's but, you know, we got married very young. I was in my associate degree program for college, and so got married as soon as we finished that. And then my husband really encouraged me to go back for my bachelor's degree, so we kind of decided we'd wait a little bit until I did that, and then we would have kids. And my mom, I'm the oldest of five. My mom had no issues, so I was just kind of expecting to have no issues, and the honest truth is I didn't. I got pregnant very quickly, had a daughter, was great. Then I thought, okay, well, let's just keep this rolling. So I had a second daughter, and really it was fine. And then when we decided to have our third child, I again, you know, didn't have any trouble getting pregnant and was telling everybody, okay, well, this is just what I do. And here we are.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when you think about pregnancy difficulties or loss, there's a lot of awareness of people who have trouble getting pregnant that first time.
Sure.
But then you think about it, and just when you're expecting your journey to go one way, and I had reached, you know, past my first trimester, no problem. Mm-hmm. And then I miscarried and had it was pretty traumatic and pretty difficult just on a physical level and an emotional level. And I was just completely taken off guard. You know, I didn't expect that. And it was really difficult on a lot of levels. For one thing, I'm a nurse, as you've already talked about. And I was teaching on a labor and delivery unit at that time.
Wow.
And so to go back every day, I remember going back the first day after I had been released from the hospital and having to go back in that labor and delivery unit, it was just a particularly painful thing, you know, just to sit there and to be with my students. And so what I decided to do was I said, okay, I'm going to set up in this conference room and y'all come and see me and come and go and that kind of thing. And you know, I just wrestled with God thinking, hey, I thought we had a deal.
Right.
And then I was so convicted by my own arrogance, you know, by my own expectations, that as if God owed me something, you know, as if this was how the story was supposed to go. And he taught me a lot, you know, through that time. And even, you know, I did get pregnant with who was to be my son, my first son after that. And I remember, he was probably about 2. And as he's grown, and now he is 16, he's 6'4". I can't imagine not having him in my life. I cannot. And if I hadn't lost, you know, the other pregnancy, I wouldn't have him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I just think, I still have that baby. I know that baby I will see one day in heaven.
Yeah.
And so I have them both.
Yeah.
How amazing is that? And so then I actually went on after that to have 2 more pregnancy losses after that and really never figured out why, you know, never knew why.
Were those both, when were they in pregnancy?
So I lost a pregnancy, had my son, lost a pregnancy, had another son, and then lost a pregnancy. It was my last experience. And so having 3 pregnancy losses, and it gave me a lot of compassion. But you know, and I'll tell you another little story that went along with this. When I had my son, I had a lot of complications. It was a very, very difficult pregnancy. He had a severe kidney issue. It was just, it was really difficult. And And so I, you know, as I was laboring, I was just in a really bad place, just really difficult, and emotionally and mentally. And the nurses came in and said, "We're changing shift and you're getting a new nurse." And I thought, "Oh no, I don't want a new nurse. You know, this is so hard." But my nurse walked in and it was one of the students I had taught.
Oh my goodness.
In that group that was with me during my pregnancy loss, who had just gotten a job there, just graduated. And I just saw the kindness of God in that, you know, and she and I shared this, our faith. And so she came in and she said, "I know, I've seen where you were with this." She prayed over me. She took such good care of me. It was just, it was such a, I could see the kindness of God in those moments.
Yeah. Well, what a full circle moment too, for you to be her teacher.
Yes.
And then to, I mean, that's special in any way, but then to also have someone with you that knows your backstory, that saw you during some of the hardest days, to now be with you during very happy days, you know, but so I feel like that's so many different emotions to deal with. And then the fact that you had gone from losing that baby to now having your son, but having a lot of complications, I'm sure that was very, very hard to be pregnant with a baby with complications.
Oh, it really was. And, you know, but again, I just feel like God was so good to me during those times. And I remember one particular time where we actually didn't know if he was going to be okay or not. Oh. It was that severe. And I just remember sitting in the recliner and just weeping, you know, just weeping and thinking, how is this, you know, so hard? And honestly, and the Lord spoke to me so clearly in that moment, and he told me that he was going to be okay, that my son was going to be okay. And I realized that that didn't necessarily mean that he was going to be physically okay, that there was not a reassurance of that, but that whatever happened, that God was in control and that he was going to be there. And I just started, all of these scriptures just started pouring over me. "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And just knowing that God sees our pain, he sees our angst, but that he is still good. Even if he doesn't change the situation, he is still good. And I really feel like just all of that journey, you know, I mean, God is still good. We still have four kids, just like we wanted to
True.
We envisioned to have on that first date, although we have three who are in heaven and we'll get to meet one day. But it was really good for us to walk with our kids through that too, and just to show them that God is still good. Just because we feel called to do this doesn't mean that God guarantees the outcome. We're just going to step forward in obedience. And I'll tell you, when we were going to have our fourth, it was really a hard decision thinking, do we do this or do we not?
Yeah.
But we just felt like, no, we're just going to trust the Lord. We're just going to trust. And now, again, I can't imagine my life without any one of my kids.
Sure. So you have, it went two girls,
two girls and two boys.
All right.
Yeah.
So during these losses, did you and your husband handle anything differently, emotionally, physically, obviously physically, but spiritually, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it was, honestly, we were on the same page a lot of the time. I think my husband is like most husbands. He just wants to fix it.
Yes.
And it was very frustrating to him to feel so helpless. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things that we learned was that, you know, as I mean, I've taught in pediatrics and labor and delivery my whole life. I always do that. And it really opened my eyes to how many other nurses who also do that work have experienced pregnancy loss or infertility issues. And I admire them so much because it's hard any which way.
Sure.
But then going in and seeing, you know, your job every single day is to welcome babies into the world and to be there with families who are experiencing, for the most part, you know, really good stories. Most of the time, it's really positive. And seeing that was really difficult. And it was interesting because then my husband was kind of on the inside of that world and thinking, oh, I see what you're experiencing, but then are you going to be able to go to work like this? Yeah. You know, what is that going to be like? But I'm really grateful that my husband is a very, very devoted father, and he was very supportive during that time. But it grew both of our faith, and it just brought us together. During the good times, it's really easy. It's honestly easy to kind of forget God a little bit. Just think, oh, hey, everything's going great. But it's in those times where you're really hurting and desperate and just on your face before the Lord that those are the times that are really sweet. And I, although it was so difficult, I don't think I would change any of that just because of what I learned about God and who he was and who he is and who he was to us during those times.
Man, that's so good. Because, yeah, we have lots and lots of listeners who have this type of testimony or infertility, you know, and that is where they say that they feel like God has found them, you know, on your face, like what you're saying, you know, on their hands and knees, you know, just begging God to be there in almost a different way than what you would need him if life was going the way that you had pictured it, you know, because like what you're saying, like it can almost feel like we always, as Christians, we always know we need him in the background, you know, like, and we're always praying and maybe even still in the word like we need to be. But yeah, until, you know, everything goes awry, I guess, when you feel hopeless, but you still go searching for him, I feel like it definitely grows your faith. And I know the statistics for couples who struggle with infertility and child loss and miscarriage, the rate of divorce goes up drastically.
Yeah.
I think it's like 88%. At least it was a few years ago when my pastor was talking about it. But anyway, 88% of marriages ending in divorce after experiencing such loss is a scary number, you know. But experience, and now we've experienced infertility. I have 6 babies in heaven now, and then the hardest last year with John Micah, him being born and living just for about 30 minutes, definitely rocked our world, you know.
Yeah.
And still rocks it, you know. We're coming up on a year, but we're also coming up on having a baby.
Yeah.
So it's so many sweet but raw and hard emotions going on at the same time, thinking about being in that hospital room again.
Yes.
Where last time I had a baby who wasn't alive, you know, in my arms. But it has somehow grown mine and my husband's relationship so much, like what you were saying, you know, I'm not saying it hasn't been difficult.
Right.
But as we've been seeking the Lord, we've also seeked each other, you know, through that. And so, if I could speak to anyone experiencing miscarriage or infertility, whatever loss, you know, of a child or that desire of having a baby, you know, would look like, is that, yeah, you can have the story of what you're even talking about with your husband, and of trying to cling to the Lord as, you know, we're clinging to each other, you know?
You know, one thing I learned about my husband is that we express our emotions very differently.
Yeah.
So when, in times of stress, when we're in a hospital situation, my husband is going to be the one who is taking the rubber gloves out of the box on the wall, making a balloon and drawing silly faces on it making jokes that, you know, like are just immature. I'm just going to put it out there, okay? and you know, when I'm stressed, I'm like, I need something to plan. I get very serious, you know, and I'm all in, you know, charge mode. And that caused some friction at first.
Yeah.
Because when he would joke, I would think, you don't care.
Yeah. How could you do that? Right?
Yeah. Like you're so insensitive. You don't even care. And then, you know, when I would be really serious and controlling and just want to take charge and create a plan, you know, here's our 9-step plan for recovery, you know, that kind of thing. he would think, you know, oh, you know, but you don't need me. Then you've just made this plan and you know what you're going to do. And where do I fit into that?
Wow. Yeah.
So I say that, you know, we grew closer, but just like you said, it wasn't always easy. And so what I had to learn was that he was just designed to express himself differently than I was.
Right.
And so one day we sat down, we were having some really intense conversation. What was it? One of my guests said, intense fellowship. That's what we're having some
intense fellowship.
That's
a great way to put
right?
it.
Isn't that a good way to put it? What we said was, we agreed to think the best of each other.
Wow.
To think
that's
that
beautiful.
You have the best intention.
Yeah.
I am going to believe that you have the best intention. And really it was a moment of, you know, when I would be irritated, I would step back and think, okay, what is his intention in this moment? Well, his intention is to bring levity, to bring lightness, to try to ease that pain. That's how he knows how to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he think, okay, my intention is to, you know, my intention is good. And that really changed a lot of things for us, you know.
Wait, will you say that again? You said we agreed to what?
To think the best of each other and to believe that we each had the best intention.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Man, I need to go back and like write that down and put it up in my house somewhere. Because I know at least growing up and then very new into our marriage, I took things very personally.
Yeah.
Like it was like, you just did that on purpose.
Yeah.
And literally, if there was one time or absolutely no times, he intentionally hurt my feelings. You know, he never intentionally is like, I'm going to see what I can do to mess right. Anne's day up today, you know.
Right.
But for some reason, that is how I would take it. And then, I can totally see as you're walking through the hardest days of your life.
Yes.
Because, we handle things definitely differently. Mm-hmm. Will doesn't have to talk about things. And I do have to talk about things.
That would be me. Like over and over and over again.
Let me see.
The horse is dead, Jessica. Put the stick down and walk away. I'm like, I just got to give it one more. Like, just make sure.
Yeah. So I can figure out how to say the exact same thing in five different ways, you know? Yeah. And Will's kind of like, all right. You know, pat me on my leg, you know, all right, again and again, you know. Yeah. And so, we definitely can handle things differently. But what you're saying right there, I thought it was so good because even in everyday task, you know, of us trying to
make
parenting decisions, you know, those decisions are hard. I mean,
you've
got teens,
Yes. And, you know, we would, I think it's really important to give each other grace and space to be human and really tell each other what we need. You know, I don't know about you, Anne, but I believed this lie for a long time that my husband was supposed to somehow magically know what I needed, what I was thinking.
I mean,
and then
him
when
enough
he
cues.
Would need that, then that would illustrate the closeness of our bond.
Oh,
and then
yes.
that would be like, oh, that reassures me that we have a good marriage because you know what I need. I don't want to say like, okay, I really need to be alone for 30 minutes or I really need to be sad about this.
Right.
I need to cry about it, and I need for you not to try to fix it.
Yeah.
But I just have to say that, and he'd say, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I can't
Sounds
do
good.
That. Right. Exactly.
So now that I know what's expected. Right. Yes. Yes.
Right. So I think I've seen certainly as a nurse, a medical professional and pediatrics, and I've seen a lot of couples struggling with that. And it's so hard because from looking from the outside, you can see that they both love each other.
Right.
They both have the best intention. It's just, you can't get past that hurt, you know? And so I think just giving each other grace and space to process it in your different ways, recognizing that those things that irritate you are the strengths that drew you together in the first place.
That's so
you know,
true.
I love that my husband loves to have fun. I take myself way too seriously. I'll tell you this: when my kids were young, I used to have I would call mommy fun day, where really I was just trying to get the kids not to destroy my house. It's like, let's go to the park, walk somewhere outside,
get out of the house,
home, and you're tired and you take a nap and you don't destroy the house. But they started calling it mommy fun day. Well, my husband was way more fun. And so he said, well, I want my own day. He came up with, and I'm not recommending this to the listeners, just full disclaimer, okay? I'm just sharing my experience. Daddy Danger Day.
Daddy.
Let's eat ice cream for breakfast. Let's go outside without shoes on, you know, because I'm always, you have to have shoes on. So, you know, giving some space, I think, to allow for those strengths. I mean, that's God's design. You know, kids need that. So, but it's much easier said than done.
Well, those sound like some fun days, though. So I think you could definitely give us some tips and tricks.
Okay. With a disclaimer. You'll have to sign a disclaimer saying that this will happen. But the kids loved it.
I bet. They loved it.
So you've got nurturing, you know, from me and different responses. And even now my husband will say, you know, if their feelings are hurt or something, he'll say, yeah, that sounds like, actually what he'll say is, that sounds like a doctor, nurse, mama thing. Like, I'm an engineer. I'm going to hurt your feelings. It's inevitable. That's why I married your mom.
Goodness,
she
so
can
funny.
Fix that. But, you know, but there's a lot of things he can do that I can't.
For sure. Well, Jessica, I think y'all have a beautiful story. And I really appreciate you coming on and sharing about your kiddos now and your kiddos that you're going to get to meet one day in heaven. I think that means a lot to our listeners to get to hear that side, because like I don't know the number of babies that are in heaven, but it's thousands upon thousands upon thousands, if not more than that, you know.
And I know my granny's rocking a bunch.
Oh my goodness.
I just have to say that.
I think about my grandmama lots of nights when I'm wishing that I could be the one rocking John Micah. I think she's getting to rocking.
She's got it.
So,
that's going to make me teary.
But we've been blessed, and thank you to our listeners for listening in again. I hope that y'all enjoyed this episode, and y'all got to go listen to Dr. Nurse Mama, even if you don't have those babies in your arms just yet. She's got so many good stories and good advice medically, and then, just as a mama or a one-day mama for some of our listeners. And so we invite you back to listen to Hannah's Heart and to Dr. Nurse Mama, and we'll see you guys again soon.